Cindy's sister, Tammy. Come on, you gotta stand up, and we want to give you a warm covenant welcome. She is also from California, but she is enjoying her stay here, seeing parts of the country that she's not seen before, and that's a cool thing that Cindy gets to run her all over the place and just have a good time together. So that's really cool, and we're glad to have you here. Glad to have you here. So how many of you have ever rented a car? Rented a car. Well, you know, when it comes to car rentals, there's Hertz and there's what? Not exactly. There's Hertz and there's not exactly. Maybe you've seen this.
557 now, boy.
Hey, Junior, we don't want to miss our curtain. I hope you've got Hertz number one club gold.
Well, not exactly, but this company's fast.
Oh, sure. Can't we skip the rental counter like it hurts?
Well, not exactly. Duh.
Hey, genius, I'm waterlogged. Doesn't your company have a canopy like Hertz?
Well, not exactly.
Remember, there's Hertz and there's not exactly. Choose the right one.
So you still think I'm the dummy?
Not exactly.
Hertz and...
527 now, boy.
Whoa. Where'd it go here? Hang on.
527 now, boy.
There. There's Hertz, and there's not exactly. When it comes to car rentals, what that means is that supposedly, when you rent from Hertz, it's dependability, reliability, it's the car is there when they say it's going to be there, the car that you want it, when you need it, right? And when they say not exactly, well, it means not exactly. And what I've discovered is that sometimes that's the way it is with the fruit of the Spirit. In our lives as Jesus followers, there is us having all of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And then sometimes there's not exactly. Sometimes we're really good at it, and then sometimes we're not so good at it. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit called faithfulness. We want to just jump in and continue our series that we've been going on, this juicy fruit. It's an exciting time that we've had to just take a look at being part of God's kingdom, allowing God's Spirit to dwell in us so that we can grow and become more like Jesus, so that we can become displayers of fruit that is within us and live that out into the world in which we exist. So we're going to explore that here in just a moment. First of all, what I want to ask you to do is grab your bulletins. And there's a passage in your bulletin from Galatians chapter 5. It's been our springboard passage that we've been reading to kind of jump us into each week as we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And I want us to read it in unison together. So beginning at verse 22, if you don't have a bulletin, share with somebody that's sitting beside you. And let's take a moment to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And once again, let me just remind each one of us that of what we're talking about this summer when we talk about the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And what I mean by that is that you, to have the fruit of the Spirit, you don't have to be Mr. or Miss Super Christian. To have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you don't have to be Mr. or Miss Super Spiritual. Here's the deal. If you have given your life, if you've surrendered your heart and your life to Jesus, if you sought forgiveness for your sin, if you said, God, I'm tired of running things my way, I'll do it your way. If you said, please forgive me for that. Listen, what I want you to know is that the Holy Spirit has come into your life in His fullness. You don't get pieces and parts. You get all of the Holy Spirit. He comes in to dwell in you and to dwell in me, to dwell in us so that we might become like Jesus. That's why the Holy Spirit lives in us, to help us to grow fruit within us, so that we might look more like Jesus to people who live around us. Now, if that sounds a little bit like Greek to you this morning, if that you don't quite understand what I mean by surrendering your heart or giving your heart to Jesus, before you leave today, ask one of our staff. Ask Matt, ask myself, ask Cindy, ask Nicole, our intern, if you want to, but just ask somebody. If that concerns you, you don't know exactly what I'm talking about surrendering your heart or life to Jesus, ask one of us. We want you to leave today knowing what it means to be a Jesus follower and knowing what it means to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. So we're going to take a little bit of time to talk about this fruit that's called faithfulness. Now, I'm kind of going to look at the big picture of the technical side maybe of faithfulness, and then I'm going to kind of funnel it down into what it looks like as it's lived out in our lives. Okay, so faithfulness comes from a word that means both faith and faithful. Same Greek word is for both of those. And it means exactly faith or faithful. In Galatians 5, when Paul was talking about being faithful, when he listed it as one of the fruit of the Spirit, what Paul was saying, he was pointing toward a sense of trustworthiness, being trustworthy, or this idea of being reliable. So that when the fruit grows out of us, that we, as Jesus followers, are trustworthy people. We're reliable people as we live life in this world, and that fruit grows in us and through us. There's lots of connotations, lots of meanings. Hebrews 11, 1, and we're going to take a look at that in just a minute, but not right now. But that verse really is kind of the foundation of understanding faith. It says, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. The concept of faithfulness could also include a person, their belief and their confidence in God and all that He promises. Faith is what keeps us from knowing that we are not here by accident. We are not, listen, you and I, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are not in this place today. We are not on this earth by accident. We are here by God's design. We are here by God's plan. We are here for God's purpose. That's a cool thing that's almost mind-blowing to think that we're not just here happenstance. God has planned this out in long time before. God has planned it out that we would be here in this moment right now. Faith totally and completely encompasses the way that we live life. Faithfulness includes a sense of loyalty to God. So that as you think about faithfulness as a fruit, it's you and I being loyal to God in every circumstance of our life. Everything, anything that's going on, all the things that are happening around us, all the things in life that sometimes we struggle with, it's being loyal to God even in the midst of that. It's daily living out Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Those verses say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your steps. He'll make your path straight. And so what faithfulness is, it's living into that. It's trusting God, believing that He's got a way better plan than we do. That He's got this thing, and we just have to follow Him. We just have to be His children. So, what does this faithfulness thing look like in real life? And how does it become a fruit that grows out of us? Well, let me talk just about a couple of things. First of all, I need to say this. Any kind of faithfulness that comes out of us as a fruit of God's Spirit is rooted and grounded in the faithfulness of God. Listen, God is a faithful God. God is a faithful God. Check out that passage in your bulletin from Lamentations. Grab your bulletins, take a look at it. I want to read it. I want you to see it. Man, this is a That's a powerful verse. Listen to this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Is that the coolest thing ever? That the mercies of God begin afresh every morning? You know the one thing I try to do? I think I told you this. The one thing I've been trying to do and this whole year is every morning when my feet hit the floor, it's to say, this is a day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I've been trying to, as soon as my feet hit the floor, I want to say that those words. This is the day the Lord has made. I want to rejoice and be glad in it. And then I found this verse. It's a song, by the way. Great is thy faithfulness. We've sung it many, many times. If you haven't sung it in a while, go to YouTube today. Click on Great is thy faithfulness and find it and sing with it. Powerful words. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. Thank God it's a new day. With new adventures. With new excitement. With new opportunity to walk with Jesus. Listen to this prayer of thanksgiving. I found that this week, actually it comes to me in an email. And it came to me this week and I thought, wow, what a great prayer to thank God for His faithfulness. Listen to this. Thank you, God, that I am able to see, that I am able to hear, that I am able to speak, and that I am able to move about today. Isn't that true? Thank you, God. Sometimes we take that so for granted, don't we? But thank God for it. Because of His faithfulness, we can do all those things. And listen, it goes on. I am blessed because you are a creative, forgiving, and understanding God. Isn't that the truth? And don't we praise God for that? That He is creative, that He is understanding, that He knows we're not perfect. Sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we mess up big time. But He is also forgiving. Praise God for His faithfulness. Praise God for His faithfulness. You have done so much for me, and I am thankful to you. I have witnessed your hand of blessing, your miraculous power in my life, and in the lives of those that I love. And you keep on blessing. Wow. The faithfulness of God. Throughout the scriptures, the faithfulness of God is so clearly seen and so easily seen for his faithfulness to humanity. I mean, there's Abraham. His promise to Abraham in the Old Testament. Hey, Abraham, listen, I want you to go to a place I'm going to show you. I'm not going to tell you where. I'm not even giving you a road map. You just go. And I'll tell you where to go. I'll tell you when to stop. And listen, I'm going to bless you so much that your descendants, they are going to outnumber the sand. I mean, can you imagine? They're going to outnumber the stars in the sky. And God has been faithful. You and I are here today because of that blessing. Because of God's faithfulness. We are here in this place today because of that. God is a faithful God. The children of Israel. They were promised, we got to go to the promised land. Moses, man, you're going to lead us out there and it's going to be all cool. It's all going to be good. They get out in the wilderness and what do? Remember? They whined and they complained and they said, Moses, what are you doing getting us out here? We want to go back to Egypt. And then they'd wander around some more until they'd figure it out. And they'd say, wait, God is a faithful God. What am I whining for? And then they'd whine some more. Then they'd complain some more. And then we want to go back to Egypt. They'd do it again. They wandered around for 40 years. But listen, was God faithful? Absolutely. He took them into the promised land, didn't He? God is a faithful, faithful God. God is a faithful God when it comes to forgiveness. For you and for me. For people around us. God's a faithful God. If we will just do what the scripture says to confess our sin and ask in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us for our sin and to purify us or cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. I don't know how many people I've talked to in my lifetime, in my time of ministry, that said, I've done too many bad things to ever be forgiven. I've messed up way too many times. I've been mad. I've been angry. I've done worse things than I even want to talk about. And I'm not sure that I'm worthy of being forgiven. Listen, what I want you to know today is that God is a faithful God. And if we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let me tell you what the word cleanse means. Because elsewhere in the scriptures He says, I will take your sin and I will throw it as far as the east is from the west, never, ever, ever to meet again. That's a faithful God, church. That's a faithful God. And we can have that. Again, if you're here today and you don't know what I'm talking about, don't leave without knowing. We'll explain it to you. I promise you we will. We want you to know. We want you to know what this stuff's all about. So that's the faithfulness of God. So how does that live out in our lives? How do we allow faithfulness to be something that comes out of us so that it's what people around us see as we live our lives? Well, there are lots of examples of faithfulness that do not necessarily, you don't have to be a Jesus follower. For instance, you can be a faithful fan of a sports team. I mean, like, committed, loyal, like those poor U of L fans. Or, I'm going to equal opportunity ragger here. So, those people that really believe that University of Kentucky has a football team. Are you kidding me? Let me tell you. Okay, so let me explain. Let me give you an example of a faithful fan. My brother and I, we were wee little. I mean, I can remember sitting in the driveway in my dad's car to listen to the Cleveland Indians play baseball. We couldn't get the radio in the house, so we'd sit in the car, in the driveway, listen to the ball games. From then, I mean, I was probably 3. I don't know. It's only a long time ago. My brother and I have been faithful fans, loyal fans of the Cleveland Indians ever since. Even when they were horrible. Even when they couldn't get 1,000 people in the seats in Municipal Stadium that held 72,000 people. We were fans. You can be a faithful follower of a team, not necessarily be a Jesus follower, right? There are lots of faithful people who have faithful friends. You know those people that, faithful friendships. You know that one person, or two people, or five people, that if something happened in your life, you could get on the phone and you could call them up. Or you could text them. Some way to get a hold of them, and you could call them or touch base with them, and in a heartbeat they would be there. Faithful friends. Loyal friends. Caring friends. Loving. Amazing. Don't necessarily have to be a Jesus follower to do that, right? There are marriages that last a long time. 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. Some of those people are Jesus followers, some of them aren't. You don't necessarily have to be a Jesus follower to have a long time marriage. But I'll tell you what, it helps a whole lot. It helps a whole lot. So what am I talking about then when it comes to this whole idea of faithfulness? Well, Hebrews 11, it's also in your bulletin, grab your bulletins back. Hebrews 11, it has this incredibly long litany. I mean, through the whole chapter. And I was going to put all 35 verses, I think it is. I was going to put them all in. But I thought, I can't put that in. I don't even have room in the bulletin to put all those in there. So I just stopped at verse 6. But listen, if you want to see how faithfulness actually is lived out, go read Hebrews chapter 11. Write that down somewhere. Go find it today. Read it. It is an amazing litany of God's faithfulness people being faithful to God and God being faithful to people. Amazing passage of scripture. Let me read the first six verses. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things that we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. What we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. You know, people have a lot of problem with that. You know, the whole Big Bang Theory thing? You know, that suddenly, you know, the universe was formed out of some atom somewhere? Listen, would it bother you to know that I believe in the Big Bang Theory? Would that bother you? Listen, here's what I believe about the Big Bang Theory. I believe that God spoke and bang, it happened. That's what I believe. I believe that God spoke and it happened. There's no other way. And that's what this verse says. God spoke and it happened. Everything that we see, everything that we experience in the universe, God spoke and it happened. Verse 4. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by the example of his faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him, for before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. Faithfulness is pleasing God. Faithfulness is giving God our first fruits, giving God the first part of our lives, of our day, of what we earn, of all that we are. Verse 6. It is impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists, that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that lives in us as Jesus followers. Faithfulness is knowing and following Jesus. Faithfulness is each one of us being a witness for Him, a faithful witness for Him in everything that we say, do, and are, in every place that we find ourselves. Faithfulness is lived out as it's you and me being steadfast as a Christ follower. It's being, as I told the group from Whitefish Bay this morning, it's being Jesus with skin on wherever you are. That's faithfulness. That's how it shows up in our lives. That's how it becomes real. Faithfulness is each of us trusting that God has our best interest at heart. No matter what we see going on around us, knowing that we are loved by Him, that He is in charge of our every day, that He's present with us no matter what's going on or what's happening. No matter what kind of treacherous trials happen, what circumstances are, even in the face of tragedy. That's what Dan's song was all about. Blessings. God shows up. God is always faithful to us, and it's us responding to Him and loving Him and knowing Him in His fullness. Some people know this, and some of you don't, but I play a lot of softball. I play ball all of my life. And I have worn the number 29 since I started playing ball. And people always are making fun of my, because I put 29 at the end of everything I do. I mean, I won't tell you all that stuff. That passwords. Never mind. Anyway, but I put 29 at the end of everything I do. And people say, what are you, in denial? You think you're 29 years old, right? I'm not in denial. Really, I'm not. The number 29, I started wearing number 29 in 1977. There's a guy by the name of Andre Thornton, who played baseball for the Cleveland Indians. Now, that you probably don't know that name. You've never heard that name. Andre Thornton was one of the most popular players in Cleveland Indians history. Home run hitter, big guy, could crush a baseball. In 1977, Andre Thornton was driving with his family, his wife, his daughter, and his son in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. They went off the road, and the ice hit a tree. His wife and his daughter were killed instantly. Andre Thornton's life was ripped upside down in the midst of tragedy, the most horrible, horrific tragedy that one could experience in life, to lose a spouse and a kid, a daughter, in that way. Now, his son lived. Andre lived. Andre went on to play baseball the next season. But Andre Thornton, man, Andre Thornton was an incredibly strong Christian. And in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of what was going on in his life, Andre Thornton said, I'm going to trust the Lord. I don't understand all this. I don't understand why my wife and why my daughter died. But I'm going to love Jesus, and I'm going to be a light for him no matter where I go, no matter what I do. And from that time, for the rest of his career, he was a living witness for Jesus. Listen, I went to a baseball fantasy camp in 2002, and I asked the guy who was the director of that camp, I said, you know what would make this camp the best thing in my whole experience ever? Would be if Andre Thornton was here. You know what he told me? He said, Andre Thornton probably wouldn't fit here. We're a bunch of baseball players. And Andre Thornton, he's a Christian guy. He's a religious guy. He probably wouldn't fit with us. And I thought to myself, praise be to God, that even in the midst of tragedy, Andre Thornton was showing people Jesus. And he wore number 29. So I've worn number 29 ever since. I love that guy. And you know, Andre Thornton, he's a leader in this church in Cleveland even today. He speaks all over the country and talks about Jesus. Talks about the tragedy in his life and talks about how Jesus saw him through that. The faithfulness of God and a faithful man being faithful to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in his life. Let me read one more passage of scripture, because it's really, this whole faithfulness thing is really lived out and really seen in Romans chapter 8. Let me read this as just a understanding that this is meant for us. This is meant for you and me. For those who are on the journey. Listen to this. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he didn't even spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. He's sitting at the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for each one of us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble? Or calamity, or persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? No! Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or on the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. There's one other verse I want to share with you this morning. And I want to ask you to think about this verse in a very personal way. The verse is Luke chapter 18, verse 8, where Jesus said this, "When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth?" When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? And I want you to make it personal by saying this, like I'm going to do here. When the Son of Man comes to you, Mike, will He find you being faithful? And just put your name in there. When the Son of Man comes to you, will He find you being faithful? Will He find you full of faith?